Hello, and welcome to In Conversation With, a podcast from The Lancet Oncology. I'm Cheryl Lai, Senior Editor at The Lancet Oncology. It's April 2024, and in this episode, I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Bernardo Goulart, Senior Physician at the US Food and Drug Administration. His new research on correlations of response rate and progression-free survival with overall survival in immunotherapy trials for metastatic non-small cell lung cancer is published in our April issue. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Goulart. Your recent study is a great example of outcomes research in oncology. Could you please tell us what motivated you to do this analysis of outcomes in lung cancer immunotherapy trials?
I want to thank Lancet Oncology for giving me the opportunity to discuss this study. We had two motivations that led to this research. The first motivation was to take a fresh look at the degree to which assessing the early clinical endpoints of overall response rate and progression-free survival, or PFS, predict the assessment of the gold standard endpoint of overall survival, or OS, in contemporary trials of immunotherapy for metastatic non-small cell lung cancer. The understanding of how response rate and PFS correlate to OS is relevant, given the interest in prioritizing the endpoints of response rate in PFS as a strategy to shorten trial duration or ensure the feasibility of trials. By looking at correlations of response rate and PFS with OS, we indirectly addressed the question of how relevant the assessment of OS is when the primary endpoint in a randomized trial is response rate or PFS. The second motivation originated from the notion that standard imaging modalities may not always capture the anti-tumor effects of immune checkpoint inhibitors. Given the incorporation of checkpoint inhibitors to first-line regimens for lung cancer, we thought this analysis would be important to determine if a potential exists for response rate or PFS assessments to miss beneficial or harmful treatment effects on OS in the forthcoming trials evaluating novel immunotherapies.
And what were the key findings of your analysis?
We observed the moderate correlations of response rate and PFS with OS at the trial level, meaning moderate correlations of the checkpoint inhibitor's treatment effects on response rate and PFS with the checkpoint inhibitor's treatment effects on OS. The key implication here is that had drug developers and FDA relied solely on these imaging-dependent endpoints, they would have missed the larger effects on survival, and the benefit risks of checkpoint inhibitors in this setting would not have looked as favorable. To illustrate this point, in the trials included in our analysis, the median PFS benefit ranged from minus 1.7 to 4.3 months, whereas the median OS benefit ranged from 1.2 to 15.8 months. At the patient level, a RECIST response was associated with longer overall survival compared with lack of RECIST response. In addition, among the patients who had a RECIST response, those who received first-line checkpoint inhibitors had longer OS compared to those who received chemotherapy alone. These results should suggest that a RECIST response portends a favorable survival prognosis in patients treated with first-line checkpoint inhibitors for metastatic non-small cell lung cancer, an information that can assist clinicians giving prognostic data to patients.
Your analysis adds to the evidence showing the importance of mature overall survival results and the need to include statistical hypothesis testing of overall survival in trials where possible. How can trial design balance the need for long-term survival endpoints with a desire to bring efficacious drugs to market as quickly as possible?
While we agree that stakeholders need to balance the need for OS assessments with timely access to novel drugs, we also call the attention for potential undesired consequences of not tracking mature OS data. One possibility here is that drug developers may miss OS benefits in trials that show larger magnitude of effects on OS relative to PFS, as discussed in the previous question. That has been the case in trials for other solid tumors, such as small cell lung cancer and metastatic head and neck cancer. The other possibility is missing a detrimental effect on OS due to increased toxicity when there is a benefit on response rate or PFS for the experimental therapy. The latter scenario occurred for some of the PI3 kinase inhibitors evaluated in CLL and indolent non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I remind the audience that the FDA accelerated approval program is one mechanism that attempts to strike this balance. In clinical scenarios where randomized trials are feasible, the accelerated approval program allows for approvals based on early clinical endpoints, including response rate and progression-free survival, while also requiring a confirmatory trial to verify clinical benefit. In several instances, the endpoint in the confirmatory trial was and is overall survival.
Your analysis focused on immunotherapy trials in non-small cell lung cancer. What are the broader implications of your findings in terms of outcomes research more generally and also in other cancer types?
Thank you for the question. First, we must not interpret our analysis as a message that the FDA will consider OS as the only acceptable endpoint for drug approvals. No. While not as clinically meaningful as overall survival, the clinical event of a tumor response or tumor progression are important events in monitoring treatment and do have a degree of inherent meaningfulness to patients and treating clinicians. FDA will continue to consider response rate and PFS for drug approval in the appropriate clinical context, accompanied by OS analysis to assure no detriment. But second, both trial-level and patient-level analysis of correlations matter for validating intermediate or early clinical endpoints for their ability to predict survival. Third, one limitation here to consider is that the FDA pooled analysis utilized datasets from trials submitted to support regulatory approvals, and thus represent a selected group of trials with positive results. The analysis could have had different results if it included negative trials. We recommend a caution before extrapolating the results of our analysis to other tumor types and drug classes. Since the correlations of early clinical endpoints with OS in immunotherapy trials could depend on disease settings and be different for non-IO containing regimens. With that in mind, our results generally align with other assessments of endpoint correlations, in that the strength of correlations seem to be stronger at the patient level than at the trial level.
You and your co-investigators have carried out this research using data on trials submitted to the FDA. Can you comment on the roles and responsibilities of regulatory agencies like the FDA in driving outcomes research to improve the quality of cancer trials and cancer drug development?
Good question. While we can't speak on behalf of other regulatory agencies, we note that FDA's primary responsibility is to ensure that drug products are safe and effective for use by the American people. To fulfill this responsibility, we go into great efforts to conduct high-quality scientific reviews of data provided by drug developers for their specific products. Whenever possible, however, we leverage our ability to pull data from trials to refine our regulatory approaches or to tackle questions that are challenging to address in one individual trial. As an example, we have assessed the role of pathologic complete response in neoadjuvant trials for breast cancer. Another example, the pooled analysis of survival in older patients treated in trials of PD-1 or PD-L1 checkpoint inhibitors for metastatic non-small cell lung cancer. More recently, Dr. Fala, my colleague and medical officer at the FDA, and her colleagues published an important pooled analysis to look at differential efficacy of PARP inhibitors across individual HRR gene mutations in prostate cancer. The availability of data from multiple trials also offers multiple opportunities to evaluate patient outcomes and differential drug effects, including in underrepresented groups, such as racial and ethnic minorities, which is clearly a relevant topic for drug development.
Yes, absolutely. A very important topic. Do you have any final thoughts, Dad?
Yeah. Let's not forget that pooled data from clinical trials may not reflect the experience or the outcomes of the broader patient population, of which the majority does not enroll in clinical trials. To better understand the needs of underrepresented patient subgroups or how oncology drugs work in real-world settings. The FDA has established research partnerships with several real-world data companies. These partnerships bring opportunities for addressing questions that are often not possible to address with trial data, such as rare safety signals or long-term safety data.
Sounds like a great initiative. Good luck with the next steps. Well, it has been a pleasure speaking with you today, Dr. Goulart. Thanks very much for joining us for our podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Cheryl.
And thank you for listening to this episode of In Conversation With. You can read the article on Dr. Goulart's research online now on the Lancet Oncology website. And remember, you can subscribe to In Conversation With the Lancet Oncology wherever you usually get your podcasts.